this poses to the Russian homeland are rarely discussed. It seems that NATO was itching for a war with Russia, no matter what, and as the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Khamenei, mentioned in his meeting with President Putin in Tehran, NATO would have eventually used the excuse of the Crimea to start a war with Russia. To understand this ingrained Russophobia among Western elites, we have to go back to the end of the 19th century and British imperial strategists such as Halford Mackinder, who claimed that if Britain wants to rule the world, it has to rule Eastern Europe, West Asia, and Eurasia in general. Thank you for joining us on this episode. Until the next time on Insight.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Hello everyone, I'm Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi and we're going to be with you with another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. And in this edition of the program, we'll try to discuss the commentary of chapter Shu'ara, the 26th chapter of the Holy Quran. We'll be back after you listen to the verses we're going to discuss in this episode.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Qala amantum lahu qabla an adhana lakum. إنه لكبيركم الذي علمكم السحر فلسوف تعلمون لأقطعن أيديكم وأرجلكم من خلاف ولأصلبنكم أجمعين
Pharaoh said, You believed Moses before I gave you permission. Indeed, he is your leader who has taught you magic. But you are going to know. I will surely cut off your hands and your feet on opposite sides, and I will surely crucify you all.
قَالُوا لَا ضَيْرَ إِنَّا إِلَى رَبِّنَا مُنْقَلِبُونَ
They said, No harm. Indeed, to our Lord we will return.
إِنَّا نَطْمَعُ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ لَنَا رَبُّنَا خَطَايَانَا أَنْ كُنَّا أَوَّلَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ
Indeed, we aspire that our Lord will forgive us our sins because we were the first of the believers.
Brothers and sisters, up to this part of the story of Prophet Moses and his invitation of Pharaoh to monotheism, we understood that the sorcerers who were fighting against him, they were changed into believers, and they answered Pharaoh decisively. They said, "La dayra, inna ila rabbina munqalibun." They said, "No matter, verily we unto our Lord shall return." But they knew they had committed sins, and they were the leaders of struggle against this prophet of the Almighty Allah. They had initiated the fight at first with him, but they were hoping that the encircling Allah's mercy would cover them as well. That's why they continued saying, "Inna natma'u an yaghfira lana rabbuna khatayana an kunna awwal al-mu'minin." This is because they no longer feared anything, nor being threatened by Pharaoh, nor being in their own bloods. They feared only one thing. They feared only their former sins and the punishment for their former sins. So they hoped that they would be forgiven under the faith and under Allah's mercy. And now look at this kind of power. This kind of power they are given now. The ones who sweared by Pharaoh's power and dignity that they are going to be victors against the Prophet of Allah. Now they answer him decisively. What kind of power is it that when it comes to the heart of man, the biggest powers will be nothing in view of them? And such a man resists the most severe tortures and is generous in sacrificing himself. This can only be the power of faith and believing. على مر الزمان تألقا
وأضاء للدنيا طريقا. We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine
In this
word.
Series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic
approach. We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the book, the previous nations who have received revelation, and more particularly the Jew.
Now let's listen to some of the verses of the Holy Quran.
First, let's listen to a few verses.
Now let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran.
Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom.
So this belief, this faith they had now in their hearts, this is the light of the flame of love which makes martyrs for the sake of Allah. And these martyrs count martyrdom sweeter than honey. This is the power from which the Holy Prophet ﷺ gained help. He could gain support and with which he could educate the Muslims, whose history surprises the people of the world and very quickly brought a back-held nation to a pride of position. Anyway, this event caused Pharaoh and his government deer. And according to some narrations, he even materialized some of these threats, and he martyred the wizards. But not only did it not suppress people's feelings and their sentiments were initiated in favor of Moses, but it also exasperated them. Everywhere people, they were going around talking about the newly appeared prophet, as well as the first faithful martyrs. They said, "Inna natma'u an yaghfira lana rabbuna khatayana an kunna awwal al-mu'minin." We are the first of the believers. We were the first ones to believe in the invitations of this prophet. Now, the question that rises here is how these faithful and repentant wizards called themselves the first believers. Was their purpose that they were the first believers in that event? Or were they the first believers from among the supporters of Pharaoh? Or it could be said that they were the first believers who were martyred and they were threatened to be chastised in that event. All these commentaries are possible, but they are not at the same time inconsistent with each other. These commentaries are, of course, true when we believe that before them, some of the children of Israel or other than them had believed in Moses. But if we say that they were told to meet directly Pharaoh and to plant the first blow on him after being appointed to prophecy, it is likely that this group of believers were really the first believers, and it needs no other explanation or commentary. Brothers and sisters, thank you for staying with us. We took great help from an enlightening commentary into the light of the Holy Quran available at al-islam.org in the explanations of the verses of this chapter. Thank you for staying with us again. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Don't be saddened by what you see, by all the lies and treachery. Life is cruel, but don't worry. In your heart lies the key to unwind all the secrets. This life we see.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care.
Things always, but for me, worry, and that's when faith begins.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en. Thank you.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, this is the minbar you are listening to. May Allah accept your mourning for Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Today we invite you to listen to an English lecture by Brother Amin Rastani.
We started a topic and I wasn't able to finish it last night. Inshallah, tonight we will finish it. And I will go over just the main points that I covered last night as well, inshallah. And that had to do with this whole idea of, okay, we see Imam Hussein, what he did has lasted till today. Nothing can get in the way of it. And when we look around us, we see that there's a lot going on, but why is it that there's one thing out there that has lasted this long? Other things similar to it don't last long. They haven't lasted long. His turbah now. I want to share a couple hadith about his turbah. The sand, or as they call it, the khaki shifa of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. It says here that Bibi Fatima salawatullahi wa salamu alayha says that she kanat subhatuha min khuyuti sufin mufattalin. She had a tasbih. But look at how her tasbih was back then, her subha, right? It was a yarn, let's call it, that she had made knots in. So those are like lumps that you have in the yarn so you can count. And so it's 34 knots. If there's any mustahab, I would suggest, brothers and sisters, you know, the little stuff that goes a long way, this is one of them. Tasbihat al-Zahra, okay? 34 times Allahu Akbar, 33 times Alhamdulillah, 33 times Subhanallah after every wajib salat. Don't miss out on it. Those little things that make a big difference sometimes. Anyway, she would use that. But then when Hamza Sayyidu Shuhada becomes Shaheed, it says that she made a subha from the dust of his grave. And then it goes on to say that after Imam Hussein was killed, the people who were following this sunnat of Bibi Fatima, they shifted over to Imam Hussein because of the benefits that the dust of Imam Hussein has. Well, what are those? So people have asked, in other hadith we find this. It says that Imam Sadiq alayhi salam was asked, عن استعمال التربتين. He was asked, which one of the two should we use? The turba from Imam Hussein alayhi salam or from Hamza Sayyidu Shuhada? Look at the wording. Look at how beautiful he answers. He doesn't say this one's better than the other. He just mentions one of the benefits of Imam Hussein's turba. It's just beautiful. He says, look, الصبح التي من طين قبر الحسين تسبح بيد الرجل من غير أن يسبح. Let me just tell you that this tasbih that is made from the turba of Imam Hussein does tasbih and glorification of Allah even if the person is not actually doing that. So you do the math, the ukhrawi math. I personally believe that, yeah, I mean, alhamdulillah, today we have access. Have these tasbihs in your home. These fidget things that kids have and whatever's. Man, I was thinking about it, like, even they got us even there, guys. They got us even there. You know why? Look at this next hadith. من عن الصادق عليه السلام قال من أدار سبحة من تربة الحسين مرة واحدة بالاستغفار أو غيره كتب الله له 70 مرة. If a person takes this tasbih and says an istighfar with it, it multiplies by 70. The tasbih of Imam Hussein. The tasbih of, that's come from the turba of Imam Hussein. And the sajda on it tears the seven veils. Then they've explained that means that this salat makes its way up, inshallah. But when I say fidget stuff, it's because of this one right here. What if I'm not saying anything with it, I'm just holding on to it, and I'm just playing with it? Now the wording isn't playing, it says adara, meaning turning it. You know, have you seen these lecturers, they're always holding a tasbih, and they're like, as they're speaking, I can't do that, but I don't know, but they're like, they're also, you know, moving the tasbih beads, right? Well, don't use a plastic one at least. Use a turba one. Because of this hadith, it says, Man adara al-hajar من تربة الحسين فاستغفر به مرة كتب الله له 70 times وإن أمسك الصبح بيه. If this person is holding it ولم يسبح ففي كل حبة منها 7 مرات. So if I'm saying ذكر multiplied by 70 استغفار. If I'm not saying anything, I'm holding it, multiply each bead by 7. Those people who are big on math. 7. Multiply each one by 7. Okay? So this is with the turba. You see, this is what I was talking about last night. When we say, okay, Allah's will. Allah has willed this. Well, how is He going to make it big? With these things. Who else can do this? If the whole entire world comes to us and says, you know what? The dust from Dallas like is special. We're not going to care. Right? We're not going to care. Why? It's if Allah says it, we know, okay, this is going to really happen. There's something in it here. And He's promising us these things. And finally, his ziyarah, the shrine of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. There are two hadiths here. Let me see if I can go through both or if I can have to just go through one of them. It says that, this is one hadith of many hadiths, and you've heard both of them, I think, because they're very famous, that there are 4,000 angels inda qabr al-Husayn. 4,000 angels next to the grave of Hussein. Shu'thun ghubrun, disheveled and dusty. Of course, it's figurative because angels don't have bodies. But it's just illustrating for us that the state of these angels. Yabkunahu ila yawm al-qiyamah, weeping for him until the day of judgment. So those who go to Karbala, yes, they are with the angels. Who cares about the angels when Imam Hussein is there? Ra'isuhum malakun yuqalu lahu Mansur. Their head is an angel by the name of Mansur. And so this is the cool part. It says, so a Zair will not do ziyarah and visit that grave except that they receive this individual. Sometimes you think you're going there, the angels are probably doing their thing, let me do my thing. No. They are opening their arms and wings to you as if and welcoming you. And with that will come a lot of blessing. وَلَا يُوَدِّعُهُ مُوَدِّعُ. And people don't leave Imam Hussein except that these people come to bid them, these angels come to bid them farewell. This person doesn't fall ill except that these angels come and visit that person. This person, when he passes away or she passes away, they come and they do salat over them as well, and so on. So these kinds of things are what keep it alive. And finally, this last hadith, let me go through it very quickly. It says that someone came to Imam al-Sadiq to visit him. They said, okay, go in. He goes in. He sees the Imam is praying. So he waits. And then he notices that the Imam, after his prayer, he is doing a dua. So what is he saying? I'm going to read parts of it. He says, O Allah, O Lord, forgive the visitors of the grave of Abu Abdullah al-Husayn, who spend their wealth, those who ready their bodies due to their interest in doing good to us and because of their hope in what is with you of compensation, for keeping good relations with us, and because of the happiness they bring to the heart of your Prophet, I appeal before Allah to grant salawat and forgive them because of their yielding to our commands. In other words, they're going to ziyarah because of us. And because of the anger due to their visit, they cause to our enemies. So it makes the Imam happy. So compensate them on our behalf by being happy with them. Support them in the night and day. Be their deputy in their families and children whom they have left behind. When you leave your family, you go for ziyarah, you're worried. Oh Allah, take care of those families. Accompany them. It goes on and on and on. It reaches this part. So be kind, oh Allah, to the faces which the heat of the sun has changed. Back then, yes, no air conditioning. It takes a long time to go for ziyarah. The sun will be beating down on your face when you go. And it will maybe discolor you, disfigure you for a little bit, whatever it is. Oh Allah, have mercy on these faces. Imam Ali, he would do good deeds. He would sometimes, they say, put himself in very hard situations and circumstances. Fire is like blowing from a furnace or something in his face. He says, it's okay, let this be the fire instead of the fire of Jahannam. He's teaching us. Yes, it comes with sacrifice. Jannah comes with sacrifice. Whether it was the Imam making bread for people or whatever it was. Be kind to the faces which the heat of the sun has changed. Be kind to the side of the faces, the cheeks which are turned from side to side over the grave of Abu Abdullah. Yes. You go to Haram. Alhamdulillah, before COVID I got to go once with the Al-Asr group. Man, I was there for hours just putting my face, this cheek, that cheek. You just stand there, you recite poetry to Imam Hussein. What, I mean, be kind to those eyes which have shed tears in sympathy with us. Be kind to the hearts which mourned and felt pain for us. And the Imam goes on and on. It's beautiful. It's the dua of the Imam is beautiful in this regard.
Oh, Hussein, you live forever. To Allah, whenever I face troubles in my life, I close my eyes and see your shrine and call back every time. Oh, Hussein, you're the love of my heart. You are the light of my eyes. I swear to Allah, until my last breath, I will remember Hussein.
In the limelight. After more than a year has passed since U.S. President Joe Biden took office, the reality we're witnessing is the continuation of former U.S. President Donald Trump's most aggressive immigration policies towards immigrants. The Biden administration not only cannot fulfill its promises that it has given to immigrants, but also insists on racist, xenophobic and repressive views against immigration. The treatment of illegal immigrants in U.S. violates human rights in many cases, and the number of those who enter this country through the Mexican border and are victims of physical and mental abuse is not small. For example, the U.S. Republican Party, by abusing the immigrants and transferring them to the regions under the leadership of Democrats, is trying to take political advantage of this measure and put more pressure on the Biden administration. We have taken a look at some of the world media and press's coverage of this issue. Please stay with us. The Reuters news agency has written, some migrants who were flown to the island of Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts said on Thursday, 15th of September, they were duped about their destination, and Democratic leaders called for a probe of the move by Florida's Republican governor to send them there from Texas. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, who's up for re-election this November and seen as a possible presidential contender in 2024, took credit for the two flights, which originated in San Antonio, Texas, and stopped in Florida on their way to Martha's Vineyard. The White House and residents of the vacation enclave called it a political stunt, as Ron DeSantis joins Republican governors from Texas and Arizona in sending migrants north. The governors have sought to highlight the two parties' differences on immigration policy and shift the burden of caring for immigrants to Democratic areas. For months, Texas and Arizona have sent busloads of migrants to the Democratic-run cities of New York, Chicago, and Washington. A Martha's Vineyard airport official said the two flights on Wednesday, 14th of September, carried about 50 migrants, mostly from Venezuela. Hours after the planes landed, two buses sent by Texas Governor Greg Abbott, another Republican facing re-election this November, dropped off migrants in a Washington neighborhood, not far from Vice President Kamala Harris's official residence on Thursday, 15th of September. One Venezuelan migrant who arrived at Martha's Vineyard identified himself as Luis, a 27-year-old, and said he and 9 relatives were promised a flight to Massachusetts, along with shelter, support for 90 days, help with work permits, and English lessons. He said they were surprised when their flight landed on Martha's Vineyard. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said Republican governors were using migrants as political pawns. Several Democrats, including Charlie Crist, Ron DeSantis' opponent in Florida, and California Governor Gavin Newsom, have called on federal authorities to investigate the matter. Britain's Guardian newspaper explains more about this story. Attorneys representing Venezuelan asylum seekers flown thousands of miles to an affluent holiday island in Massachusetts at the behest of Republican governors have formally requested authorities open a criminal investigation, claiming the victims were induced to board airplanes and cross state lines under false pretenses. Lawyers for Civil Rights, a Boston-based group representing 30 of the 48 people flown from Texas to Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts on Wednesday, 14th of September, said individuals working in concert with state officials, including the Florida governor, Ron DeSantis, made numerous false promises to the migrants, including of work opportunities, schooling for their children, and immigration assistance, in order to induce them to travel. According to Lawyers for Civil Rights, which is providing pro bono legal assistance to the asylum seekers, the Venezuelans were duped in what was essentially a coordinated political stunt targeting vulnerable people based on their race and country of origin. Those flown to the holiday island of Martha's Vineyard included women and children as young as 2 years old. Lawyers for Civil Rights has written to the U.S. Attorney Rachel Rollins and the Massachusetts Attorney General, Maura Healey, requesting they open a criminal investigation, as we strongly believe that criminal laws were broken by the perpetrators of this stunt. In a statement, Lawyers for Civil Rights said, "This cowardly political stunt has placed our clients in peril. Upon arrival, numerous individuals had to be rushed to hospital in need of medical care. Some now have immigration hearings as early as Wednesday, 21st of September, thousands of miles away." The story has also been covered by Al Jazeera's website from a different angle. Massachusetts state officials announced migrants were flown to the U.S. island of Martha's Vineyard recently in what critics have denounced as a cruel political stunt by Republican lawmakers are being moved to a military base. Approximately 50 migrants, including about half a dozen children, boarded buses on Friday, 16th of September, to head to the ferry to Cape Cod, where Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker said they would be housed temporarily at Joint Base Cape Cod. The group was flown to Martha's Vineyard without warning on Wednesday night, 14th of September, as part of an escalating effort by Republican governors to call attention to what they view as U.S. President Joe Biden's failure to secure the U.S.-Mexico border amid record attempted crossings. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has taken credit for transporting the migrants from Texas to Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts, though the legal basis for the Florida government to round up migrants in a different state remained unclear. The migrants said they had recently been admitted into the United States on a fast-track permit known as humanitarian parole after leaving Venezuela and had been staying at a shelter in San Antonio, Texas. Rachel Self, a Boston immigration lawyer who gave legal assistance to some of the migrants, said they had been lured onto planes under false pretenses.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity,
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. We are still looking at the human being and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designed him in order for us to obviously know how to deal with one another and make sure that the rights of one another are observed. Because sometimes not understanding who we are could be a problem, or not understanding our own nature could be a problem. We were saying that human beings in their nature, they're different from any other species that exist on earth. We're different from plants, we're different from animals, we're different from inanimate objects, we're completely different. One of the things that makes us different than any other creature is the fact that what we are a dutiful kind of creatures. We have obligations. Now, we human beings capable of living under a certain framework of laws enacted from the capacity that we are given, which other living creatures don't have. So, for example, animals or plants or stones or wood or flowers or sheep or cows, they can't act anything beside what has been programmed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their minds. Well, we can. Man or man in his nature is unique amongst the creatures in possessing such extraordinary talent for behaving within a framework of set of conventional laws. We have the capacity to set laws by ourselves if we are, you know, if we need them, or if they are set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, since these laws are made and laid upon by a quite legitimate lawmaker, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and since forbearance in carrying them is usually accompanied by some sort of hardship, they are called obligations or taklif. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He created mankind, obviously He did not create them free of responsibility, free of duty. No. They have certain duties, they have certain responsibilities that they have to fulfill. And for that, we use the word taklif or obligations, or this person obliged to do something. When binding man to specific obligation, the lawgiver, obviously, must bear in mind that there are conditions which are essential, need to exist in the human beings before asking him to perform a duty. So, when we look at our lives, we find out that we have so many things and so many duties to do. But in order for us to perform any of these duties, we need to be able to have certain criteria to be able to perform these duties. Without them, then we cannot fulfill anything. Now, I will mention some of these criteria that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that must exist in a person in order for them to be responsible and obliged to carry out their duties. Before that, let us take a short break and then we will come back.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program for humanity. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that mankind need to perform their duties. In order for them to perform their duties, first thing is required in man, human beings, is to be mature, or what we call maturity. In the course of a life of a person, once he reaches an age where he is faced with a set of sudden changes in his body, feelings, and thoughts, which cause him to mature, obviously. As we get older, our body and our mentality, they get old with us. And we change. We no longer stay children at the age of 3. We move to 7. We move to 14, and we move to 21, and so on and so forth. So there's a process of maturity. As we mature, every human being undergoes a natural maturation, both physical and mental. But a particular date for maturity cannot be exactly determined in all individuals. So we can't set a date for maturity for every human being. In fact, for some people who approach their maturity, they become more mature than others, especially when it comes to males. Some males mature more than others, and some are delayed. And this, the age of maturity, obviously, it falls into the subject of jurisprudence in Islam, where there are certain criterias. If they happen, then a male becomes mature. As far as age concerned, it's the limit is 15 for males. So by the age of 15, they will be mature, whether the signs have came or not. But sometimes you can find a 13-year-old boy or 12-year-old boy, once his body and his mind is mature, then they are considered to be matured and an obligation falls onto them. However, when it comes to girls, though, the criteria is pretty much set. You know, the age of 9, every girl becomes mature. So, and also this topic of maturity is dealt with in jurisprudence and fiqh. But the first thing for a person, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to expect things from him, to expect him to perform his duties, whether the duties towards Allah, duties towards himself, or duties towards his fellow man, towards human beings, he has to be mature. Without maturity, we can't hold that person responsible for their actions, because they are considered to be at least, you know, minor, or his brain has not developed. And sometimes you can have a person who is way old. He could be in his 30s or 40s, but if he's not mature and does not have the capacity to process information, we call him insane. And such a person also cannot be held accountable for his action. But we're talking about normal human being, normal, sane human beings who have the capacity to carry out their duties, then maturity is required. So keep that in mind. We will talk about the other requirements for a human being in the next episodes. Therefore, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
لا يقيم أمر الله سبحانه إلا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
I would like to take this opportunity to talk about one dimension of the personality of Amir al-Mu'mineen.
As-salamu alayka ya Amin Allah fi ardi.
Peace be upon you, O trusted guardian, appointed by Allah.
The universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in To My Brother.
Imam Ali alayhi salam, the most distinguished and extraordinary personality in Islam after the Holy Prophet Muhammad. His entire life is a struggle for the advancement of Islam, the universal religion prescribed by Allah for all of humanity. Imam Ali alayhi salam was the living miracle raised up by the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself, and was not only the successor and the executor of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but as history testifies, he was also a great human being, a brave defender of Islam, a just and fair judge, a generous philanthropist, a champion of the people, and the most pious person of his time. And in today's world, overcome by evil and darkness, and oppression and slavery, and tyranny and falsehood, a quick look into this beacon of truth and justice, a look into the universal persona of Imam Ali, is greatly useful for making and changing our lives, our families, our societies, and our world into the beautiful world that Allah has planned for humanity.
I
Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, the program To My Brother. I'm Atta, the producer of this program, and at this moment, I invite you to listen to the Arabic text of Ziyara Aminullah along with the English translation. Please stay tuned.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم فاستجب دعائي واقبل ثنائي واجمع بيني وبين
O Allah, give favorable answer to my prayer. Acknowledge the praise I sign in worship. Let there be peace and harmony between me and my friends for the sake of Muhammad, Ali, Fatima, Al-Hassan, and Al-Hussein. Verily, thou art my benefactor who provides with bounties, the aim of my desires, the ultimate destination of my hopes in my future life and during this short life. Thou art my God, my master and my lord. Welcome my friends, keep our enemies away from us. To save us from the evil mischief, divert their attention. Let the true world come out in the open, supreme and dominant. Refute and condemn the folly, rendered contemptible. Verily, thou art able to do all things.
إنك على كل شيء قدير
Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio. The program is To My Brother, and we are discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali, alayhi salam. So, dear friends, when we are talking about the universal persona of Imam Ali, alayhi salam, we sometimes ask ourselves, why is it that Imam Ali, alayhi salam, is considered to be a universal persona? Of course, in the various different episodes and sessions that we have had, we have given multiple reasons as to why Imam Ali, alayhi salam, is a universal persona. But not only is he a universal persona, we find that he is also a role model and an example for all times and all ages, regardless of language or ethnic background or color, which is something that is truly miraculous. And on the other hand, we see that in the present day, there are many Muslims who, for some reason or the other, primarily due to ignorance or a lack of education, do not consider Imam Ali alayhi salam to be the role model that he is. Interestingly, we find that Imam Ali himself speaks about this idea of taking Islam, understanding Islam from sources other than the Ahlul Bayt, peace and blessings upon them, and their holy households. We see that Imam Ali said in one occasion, "Be aware that following the Holy Quran and the school of the Ahlul Bayt is like sweet and wholesome water, water which quenches your spiritual thirst. Whereas following people of innovation is like bitter and salty water, which must be avoided." And so we see the reality of this idea that in the present day and really in the past eras, it is the Ahlul Bayt, peace and blessings upon them, who are the true role models for humanity. And we have seen that despite this clear evidence that the Ahlul Bayt are the universal personas and manifestations and embodiments of the Holy Quran and the teachings of Islam, people have unfortunately decided to turn the other way and look for other guides. Now, of course, this has resulted in total chaos and the spiritual and moral degradation and corruption of the world, something that we all witness in the present day. And so truly, if we are to return to a guided society, an enlightened society, a reformed and utopian society, then we must follow the examples given to us by Allah, which are the Messenger of Allah, the Ahlul Bayt, and Imam Ali alayhi salam. A beautiful, profound, and interesting lesson brought to us by the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam.
In the name of Allah, Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. Welcome to this segment of To My Brother. My name is Muhammad. After returning from the Battle of Siffin, Imam Ali gave certain pieces of advice to one of his sons. Historians consider him to be Imam Hassan alayhi salam, while others are of the opinion that he was Muhammadul Hanafiya. He wrote this letter in the form of a will. They deal with almost every aspect of life, which goes a long way to make a man successful in life, brave, humane, generous, virtuous, and pious. Today, I'm going to read to you an excerpt from the last will of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Please stay with us. My dear son, the best thing for you to do is seek guidance of one who has created you, who maintains and nourishes you, who has given you a balanced mind and a normally working body. Your invocations should be reserved for him only. Your requests and solicitations should be alone to him, and you should only be afraid of him. Be it known to you, my son, that nobody has given mankind such detailed information about Allah as our Holy Prophet. I advise you to have faith in his teachings, to make him your leader, and to accept his guidance for your salvation. Thus, advising you, I have done the best that I can do as a sincere and loving adviser. And I assure you that however you may try to find a better way for your good, you will not find any superior to the one advised by me. Remember, my son, had there been any other God besides the One, he would have also sent his messengers and prophets, and they would have pointed out to mankind the domain and glory of this second God. And you would have also seen them. But no such incident ever took place.